Pokerto world. Today's daf in Mesechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet. And yesterday we were talking about Rava's Psak, according to which you cannot come and ask for a heter on a Shavuah once you were already over on the Shavuah and there is nothing left to be matir. So therefore, in the event, this is the way we ended up explaining this sukkah according to Rava, because we had some kashas on it. In the event that you said lo ochlenna, which would mean I won't eat the entire thing, so then if there is something that is choshev that's left to be able to ask the chacham to be matir, you can. And then if you would ask the chacham to be matir, he would memela have been matir even retroactively, and you would end up not having been over at all. That was one of the possible cases. Or the other case could be that he said, I won't eat it. Not I won't eat it entirely, but I won't eat the pita. And that the case over there would be talking about, even though you were over on it as soon as you ate one kezias, but if there's another kezias that's left, so then it would already help retroactively. So it's just the difference between whether the reasoning was that you need a shear that's choshev to be shayel on, or whether you are talking about a case where anyway the only shear that would be also would be kezayit. In any event, that was Rava's approach yesterday. Now today, we have a little bit of a problem with Rava from a braita, and that is as follows. This brings us sort of in the middle of the sugya to Rava, to the words, Mesve, Misha Nadar Shtei Nezirot. So that means we'd be up to the seventh line already. So Mesve, Misha Nadar Shtei Nezirot. How about in a case where somebody had said Areni Nazir and then he accepted again Areni Nazir? And you'll remember that we learned yesterday that the din of Nezirot is different than the din of Shavuos, because in the din of Shavuos, it's a big chiddush to say what Rava said yesterday, and namely that the in hyperspace somewhere, that Shavua is hanging out. The moment that you remove the Shavua, it will have where to be chal if you remove the Shavua that was in its place. By Naziris, we said that if you make two Nazirihood, they simply are chal consecutively. So you keep the first Nazirut, and then you keep the second Nazirut. So that means the netter of the Nazirut was chal immediately. So getting back to the sugya of Nezirut, Metve, Misha Nadar Shtei Nezirut. So somebody had said, Areni Nazir twice. He already counted the first Nezirut. He already was mafrish the korban for the first Nezirut. He didn't bring it yet. Now he goes and he asks a bezdin to be matir his Nezirut. If the Bezdin is matir the Nezirut, the original Nezirut, remember that that takes it away retroactively. So it's oker milechatchila. The din of the Bezdin is that they take away the entire presence of the Shavua as if it was never there. In this case, there never was a Nezirut. Then that would mean that the period that he kept as Nezirut for these 30 days was actually being kept for the second Nezirut. Because actually, what he had done was, he had two consecutive Nezirutz. The moment the first one no longer existed in time, then obviously he was keeping the extant Nezirut, which was his second Nezirut. And not only that, he can actually use the carbon for the Nezirut, the only Nezirut that he had. So, otalo shniya, rishona. So if that's the case, if he already had finished the full 30 days over here, according to Rava, how is he allowed to go and ask for a heter since he's already finished? It's no different than the case of Rava, is it? In the case of Rava, he said he's not going to eat this pita. He already ate the pita. And Rava says, well, if you already ate the pita, we can't go ask your bezdin to be matir just to get you out of your chiv. But isn't that what you're doing over here? No. We're talking about over here, he set aside his carbon. Didn't say he brought his carbon. He set aside his carbon, but he hasn't brought the carbon. Okay, so now I have to make a determination. What am I going to use this carbon for? So obviously the original Nazirus is extremely Nogeo Lamaisa now. If I go into the Besdin and I'm able to put a Korban now to be used for a different Nazirus, why shouldn't I do that? Why would there be a problem for me to go to the Besdin? Just because I already kept the Yisurim, I have yet to bring my Korban. So it wasn't finished yet. But wait, there's another Braita like this one, and it adds the word, he was Mechaper. For Tanya, he was Mafish Korban, the Keeper. Now, what are you going to do about that? There it's completely over, isn't it? And yet it's saying that you can retroactively go to a Beis Din and be Oker something that you were already completed with. Ah, no, he was Keeper, but he had not completed the Nazirus. Because in order to complete the Nazirus, you need to also do the Giluach. You have to shave the Nazir's head. And if it's going Alib de Reb Eliezer, Reb Eliezer holds that even if you bring a Korban, it's not going to help you to be Matir, the Yisurei Nazirus, just because you bring a Korban, according to Reb Eliezer, unless you also did the Tiklachat. Therefore, you're still Osir with the Yisurei Nazir. And if you go to the Besdin to be Matir you, they will be Matir you, the Yisurei Nazir. Because of that, it's very Nogea to go to the Besdin. Yeah, but I got bad news for you. There's another Braita that says that he was Gilach. He was Keeper and he was Gilach. What are you going to do according to that? Vatanya Gilach. Maravashi, you know what? Excuse me, but your whole question is completely irrelevant. Why? Because you're asking on Rava from the case of Nazirut. And Rava's case, remember, was a case of a Shvua. Yeah, I don't like the way Dr. Barry's gradually disappearing. I know what the next step is. First, it's rubbing his eyes. Then, it's turning his face into a lot of symbols. Then, the symbols gradually sort of fade out, which is an indication that he has started to dream. We actually have him hooked up over here to an electroencephalogram. We know exactly what's going on. It's not going to help. Okay. I don't know what time it is over there, but I'm imagining it's quite late. Sorry, just tweaking you a bit. We need to have our fun. Okay, so now we also, says Ravashi, the whole thing is based on a misconception. Because you are asking on Rava, who is talking about a Shvua, where over there, you were over the Shvua, it's over. There's nothing to discuss. The second Shvua that you were talking about over there, that second Shvua now is based on Rava's Chiddush about whether the Shvua exists somewhere in hyperspace and so on. Once that first Shvua is over, so then I understand that you're not going to be gaining anything in terms of the first Shvua. So that's there, but Nazirut Karamita, you're asking on Rava from the Din of Nazirut? In the case of Rava, as we say, there's no longer any Shvua. So it's irrelevant to go to the Beis Din. But in the case over here, even if I finish the Nazirut completely, it's still very, very Nogea to do something about that first Nazirus. Why? Because as long as that first Nazirus is there, Migaram L'Shniya Shelo Tachu, what made it impossible to be Yotzei, the Dinim of the second Nazirus, even though he kept these 30 days, the only thing that was keeping it away was that Nazirus. So then if that's the case, I'm going to be chayev now, right now, to keep another 30 days in Nazirus, because you're not letting me go to Shoyal on the original Nazirus. I mean, what are you telling me? It's not relevant. There's nothing more relevant in the world to me. I don't understand. If you allow me to be Shoyal on the Nazirus, then I'm already Yotze the Nazirus. If you don't allow me to be Shoyal on that first Nazirus, now I'm going to have to keep 30 days in Nazirus or bring another Korban. So what kind of silliness is it to say, well, it's irrelevant. You already completed the Nazirus. It's the exact opposite of Rava's case, where if you're already over on the Shvuah, so it's irrelevant. Okay, so let me just finish. Migoram l'shniyash lo tachul. What prevented you? What prevented you from being Yotzei already, the first Nazirus? It was only the existence of that first Nazirus that prevented the second Nazirus. Now, if I'm going to be removing that, it'll be gone. And that would have meant that the second Naziris would already have been Yotze at the very beginning. And nothing could be more relevant than that, I think. Hamemar disagrees totally with everything that Rava said. Hamemar says, who's to tell you that you cannot get a retroactive heter for a shvur that you were already over? I would say that afilu achala kula, I don't care if you ate the entire pita, you could still go and be shayel, because if you ate it bishogeg, so now you still owe a korban, don't you? So what are you telling me? It's irrelevant to ask a bezdin to be mevatel a shvua if that's going to make the difference of needing to bring the korban olav yored. So if it was bishogeg, it's mechusar korban, and if it was bemezid, it's mechusar malchus. And therefore, he's still going to be chayev that malchus. Yes, I understand. If he already got the malchus and he already brought the korban, and he was already over the shvua, there's no purpose in going to bezdin. Well, that's rather obvious. But if it's still going to save him from the chi of malchus with the chi of korban, it's very nogea, and there's no reason for me not to be shayel. So the nafkamina over here between Amemar and Rava is a very fundamental difference in how to look at the inyan of the heter nedarim or the heter shvuas. Because according to Rava, heter shvua is only nogea what it is that the shvua is currently being b'chai of you. Masha Einken, according to Amemar, it's nogea even the things that come out. What are the consequences of you having been over on the shvua? Any consequence is still relevant, and therefore the heter of the shvua will affect that consequence. Whereas Rava Tainis, the meaning of the heter of the shvua is the heter of the shvua, not the heter of the impact of the shvua. Okay, so this is a very fundamental difference between Amemar's approach and Rava's approach. Now, even Amemar agrees that if they already tied him up to the post on which he's going to be getting malchus, at that point, we can no longer say that the consequences of the shvua would allow you to go ahead and to be shoyal on your shvua. Why? Because at that point, remember the din that we had. Once the person was tied to the post and he manages to run away, the din is that he would be putter. And that would be cut because of v'nikla achicha le'inecha. Barry, you're making me feel very guilty at keeping you up with strings and holding you up there on the ceiling. Why don't you gradually give us your name so that it won't hurt as much? So, in this case, what would that mean? It would mean that if he's already tied up, so then the consequences of the shvua are complete. V'horaya, if he managed to run away, so we would no longer be mechayev of him. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the rest of it is just letting things essentially take their course. But it's no longer that we have to look at it in terms of the immediate impact of the shvua. And that would be because of Shmuel's halacha, kedei Shmuel. D'omar Shmuel, kifatu al ha'amud. If the guy was tied up already to the wood and he manages to escape and he runs out of the bezdin, he gets himself untied, Mr. Houdini is gone. So at that point, he is putter. And therefore, here too, he should be putter because he was already kafat le'amut. So Amemar understands that to mean that in the sense that Bezdin has already been mevaze him. Let's imagine the case that they weren't kofi him to the amut, right? Bezdin says, you are chayev malchus. The guy jumps up and gets out of his handcuffs and runs out of the Bezdin. Would he be putter? No. So why, if he's kifatu al amud, is he putter? So that means clearly that the kifatu al amud is already the beginning of the v'nikla achicha le'inecha. The question is, how does it end? Does it end with the bizoyan of the actual lashes, or does it end with the bizoyan of running out? But as far as Bezdin having done that first pu'ula of the v'nikla achicha le'inecha, obviously that's part of it, because otherwise he should be potter, even if he didn't run, you see? That's how Meimar's for. But l'maisa, the Gemara, is deichet, because how do we say that just because we started the v'nikla achicha le'inecha, so therefore we don't have any relevant consequences in the further giving of the malchus itself? That doesn't necessarily follow. You can't say just because the Besdin has already begun, v'niklachicha, therefore v'loi. It's not at all the same as Shmuel. In the case of Shmuel, the guy actually did run away. Hatam rats. So there I understand that he was already yodse v'niklachicha leinecha. Mashenkin hocha lo rats. So in which case, he still is mechuyev the onesh. If he's still mechuyev the onesh, then he should be nogea the keter of Besdin. So why would Amema be made in this case that there's no longer any point? There is a point that saves him from the Malkus. Therefore, if you want to hold like Amema, don't be wishy-washy about it like Amema is. Go all the way and say that even at the very last moment that would save him from a Malkus, he would already be able to still ask in the Besdin. Now, we have another sugya coming up right now, which we're about to begin, which there are many, many machlokasin about how to understand. Not only there are many machlokasin, there are claims by Tosfos that the pshat that Rashi gives himself has been misquoted and that the Sofrim copied it wrong. And then there's a Rabbeinu Tam who makes variations on the Rashi, and a Rabbeinu Hananel who has a slightly different pshat. In order to be able to understand the sugya completely, we'd have to go over it four times in order to show the different sugyas according to the different shitot. Because, see, if Rashi were really worked out very consistently, I would just say, let's go with Rashi. But as Tosfos points out, the contradictions in the Rashi and the kvetches that have to be made in order to allow Rashi's pshat to make sense are legion. And because of that, I'm reluctant to simply be mefarish the Gemara as is without telling you what's hidden between the lines. So because of that, what I'd like to do is tell you over the basic issues that we're going to need to discuss and tell you what the pashtus is of what Rashi claims over here. Tell you what it is that the other mefarshim disagree about to some extent to go through it. And then to learn through the sugya just in a way that keeps it open so that you can apply the different pshatim in the sugya on your own. And that way you have a tfis of the different ideas without it taking us 3 hours to go through the daf. I think that's the most effective way to do it. So what we're...
The Rebbe needs a drink before starting.
I need more than a drink, Barnea. I wish it were as simple as that. I wasn't able to give the shir yesterday, which I'm so broken about. It's like, I had this whole Seder that I was going to finish up with you different sugars before Shavuos. And all this. Thank you. It's not only about me. Okay. All right. So what we're talking about here, let's just start the sugya so we can see what we're referring to. What is the new sugya? Omar Rava, Shvua shelo ochal kikar zo, im ochal zo. So over here, what you're doing is, you're making a shvua on a condition. Now remember, we discussed that kind of situation in regards to when we were learning Nedarim, we were talking about what would be the din if you were over on the Tanai, and then you forgot when you were over on the Neder. Well, we have the same two words here. The Tanai is the conditional one that you said. I won't eat A if I eat B. So then B is a condition. You're not being over on anything if you ate B, because you never said you wouldn't eat B. You just said if you did eat B, that you won't eat A. So we call B the Tanai, and we call A the actual Shvua in this case, right? Now, the question is, at what point is the Shvua Chal? Because when you make that Shvua, it did not go into effect. Because all you said was, in the event that I do this act, then the Shvua will go into effect. Now, that act happens itself to be eating a different pita, right? So you said you won't eat the wheat pita if you eat the rye pita. That's how you put it. So now there's a number of issues that we have to consider over here. Because remember that at the moment that a shvua goes into effect, the individual has to have been aware of the shvua. How did we make that? From the fact that we read it, asher yivate ha'adam b'shvua. So we were medayik. That means ha'adam b'shvua. And we were even medayik Rashi's beautiful lashon. You have to be human at the time that you make the shvua. And being human means that you're aware of what's going on. Okay, so if that's the approach, what is the moment that you have to be human in? That's the question. So Rashi says that the shvua will only be chal at the moment that you do the first act which that shvua was relevant to. This is what Rashi says, and it creates a lot of problem. So that would mean the moment of your first achila, whether it's the achila of the tnai or it's the achila of the focused iser, either one of those sets the shvua into motion. Why? Because if you eat the tnai, it's obvious why. If you were aware when you ate the tnai, now I'm not going to be able to eat that other pita because I said I wouldn't eat it if I ate this one. So then you were fully aware of the shvua going into effect at that moment. If you ate the other one, the one that's usser, then that means you're saying to yourself, now I'm not going to be able to eat the tanai one, because if I do eat the tanai one, I'm going to be retroactively putting myself in the position of just having eaten something usser. So therefore, at that point, you also are aware of the fact that a shvua is now ticking over your head. So therefore, says Rashi, doesn't matter which one of them you ate first, the first one that you eat kicks the shvua into effect, as long as you were aware at that time that there is a shvua that is now going to effect. So that's called the sha'at ha-shvua, and that if at that moment you know what you did, then you are ha'adam b'shvua, and now the shvua is going to be chala, therefore you will be chayev on the carbon olav yored, on whichever one you do that is now not being done the mezid. So it doesn't matter whether you ate the tanai one first, or you ate the iser one first, but what's essential is that when you did eat the iser, that you ate it b'shogeg, because if you didn't eat the iser b'shogeg, then you're not going to bring a carbon olav yored. Now, this creates what appears to be, on the surface, an impossible situation for Rashi, you see, because you've got two points that need to be taken care of. You need to be fully aware, in order to be ha'adam b'shvua, at the moment that the shvua kicks in, and you need to be unaware at the time, because otherwise it won't be a shogeg, you need to be unaware at the time that you ate the iser. But if Rashi says either of the above is the moment that the shvua kicks in, so how in the world, if you ate the iser first and you knew that the shvua kicked in, how in the world could you ever be over in a way that would be mechayiv you a carbon olav yored if you already knew what you were doing when you ate the iser, even though it wasn't usher at that time, and only retroactively becomes usher? It seems to be an impossible conundrum that Rashi's created here. You can't have both of these necessary points both being true. You can't have the achila of the actual iser, not of the tnai, needing to be adam b'shvua, and also, in order to be b'chai of you, needing to be a shogeg. Those two things do not go hand in hand. So the only way to answer Rashi is with a lot of kvetching. And what would the kvetching be? The kvetching would be that you would have to say that in the event that at the time that he ate the iser, he did not forget the shvua. He remembered the shvua, but he didn't realize that this was the one that he had said he wasn't going to be able to he couldn't eat from this point because that he mistook it for a different one that he was going to make the tanai on, perhaps. Well, there are different approaches to how you can fetch Rashi. But it means you have to introduce a new shogeg into the picture. That's the problem, which is very much
what the original situation was.
He got confused, yeah. Okay, it's keeping it a little bit oversimplified to say that. Yes. Okay, so anyway, that would be the way that Rashi says it, Tosfos says, look, he believes that there's a mistake in the Girsa in the Rashi later on, and that actually he holds, Tosfos himself points out that according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're chayev a korban if you ate the Isser first, even if you ate it b'mezid, as long as you ate the Tnai b'shogeg. So you don't have to eat specifically the one that was Usser. You just have to do the Achila that was ended up being Mechayev you, even if that Achila is the Tnai. You could have done that b'shogeg. In which case, if you eat the Isser first, and you know the Shvu at that time, in the case that he didn't realize that this was the Kikar, or remember, there's another issue, which is, once the person has already eaten the Isser, you'll remember this from the Dorim, the individual does not view the Tnai as being the same Chumrah as what it is that the Tnai Asered. So if you went ahead and ate the thing that you said you weren't going to eat if you ate the first thing, and you didn't eat the first thing, you ate the thing that you said you weren't going to eat. So then the natural psychology of the person is to say, well, I already ate it, you know. So, okay, so when I ate it, it wasn't usher because I hadn't eaten the other thing. So, okay, I'll try to remember not to eat the first thing that would have made it usher. But you don't view that thing as the shvuah because it wasn't the shvuah. It was only the catalyst of the shvuah. So maybe that's not the type of shogeg that you're going to be chayav a korban all of a yoreh not. Another possible svara that's taken into consideration over here. Tosfos himself disagrees fundamentally with both of these pshatim, because Rabbeinu Tam agreed with Rashi on the Yikarek Nagia, and he holds that you're not going to ever be potter because of the Odom Beshvua unless you ate the Tnai itself. And therefore, it's not like Rashi says, well, whichever one you eat, that kicks in the moment of the Shvua. No. The only way that you're not going to be considered an Adam B'Shvua is if you ate the Tnai without a full awareness. And it doesn't matter if you ate the Tnai first, if you ate the Tnai second, it's not an Adam B'Shvua. As far as the Achil of the Isser, doesn't matter to us, because it's the chalos at the moment of the achilas hatnai. That's the only time that we need the Adam b'shvua. And therefore, it's at that moment that he could not have forgotten and not know what he's doing. Because of this, there's also a tremendous machlokas in the sugya about what the sugya is referring to when it says the first one and what the sugya is referring to as the second one, you see, which creates tremendous confusion in how to read the Gemara. Is the first one the Tnai? This is talking about in a case where they were mutually dependent. You made each one the Tnai for the other one. Okay, so it gets really complicated. So which one is number one and which one is number two? Is it in the order of the Achila? Is it the one that was the Tnai for the other one that you then call number one? Or is there a specific order in which we say number one and number two? There's four different shittas about this. So obviously each one of them is going to totally change how we understand the Gemara. So we'll keep things as simple as possible, but just remember that every word that I say is not true according to somebody else. All right? And because of that, we'll have to keep it like very, very simplified la'alacha. So it starts off easy. Easy in the sense that Rava points out the issues that are going to come up, because remember, there's another hidden issue here. If it's a question of retroactively becoming usher, think about this. The guy eats the thing that he said he won't eat if he ate the other thing. And he knows perfectly well that he's not supposed to be eating this thing if he eats the other thing. And therefore, he's doing it b'mezid. Does he get malchus when he eats the other thing? Well, could we give him hasra? What's the hasra? Don't eat that. Why not? You might eat the other thing. I might eat the other thing. Why would I eat the other thing? What, am I crazy? I'm eating this one. Currently, it's completely mutter. Why are you telling me not to eat it? Well, we don't know. You might eat the other one. That's the most classic case of hatra'at safek imaginable, right? He's doing something that's completely mutter now. Usually after Atzaf Fekes, I don't know whether this act that he's doing will end up actually being usher in and of itself. Over here, we're saying it may be completely mutter because of something else, the condition. So this is obviously the question of whether you're going to be chayiv the mace. It introduces also the machlokas that we had with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish earlier about whether hatra'at safek shmei hatra'at. So as you can see, this is exactly the type of sugya that Richie loves. It engages him fully so that every single way in which he perceives it, he recognizes instantly the other 50 ways that he could have perceived it, grasps them all in the brilliance of his radar screen to be able to see where the shoals lie, where the fish lie, and everything is exciting, bright, and constantly renewing as that little blip on his scope goes round and round. You can see the joy in his face. Oy vey.
Maybe took the wind out of his sails.
Okay, so now, says Rava, I won't eat kikar A if I do eat kikar B. Now, he eats this, I shouldn't say A and B, because now we're getting into the question of what is the Rishona, which is the Shnia. So I won't eat this pita if I eat that pita. He eats the first one, Bishogeg, and he doesn't realize that a problem exists over here. So according to Rashi, it doesn't matter which one. He would be always putter. Why? Because he wasn't an Adam Bishvuah. And the Shvuah kicks in immediately upon his eating it. And therefore, he wasn't aware. But suppose he eats the first one, the mazit, which means, not that he's doing anything wrong, because according to Rashi, he might be eating, no matter which one he eats, he wouldn't be eating wrong, even if he might be eating the actual Isser, because he hasn't eaten the Tanai yet. But that doesn't matter. The first one that he eats has the Adam B'Shvu'ah, and therefore the Shvu'ah kicks in at that point. Then if he eats the other one without remembering, so then if he eats it, it would be a shogeg, and that's when he would be chayev the oil of the yoret. So obviously, if he ate both of them, shogeg is potter, because there never was a shvua. There was no adam b'shvua. If he eats both of them, b'meis it, so now it depends which one he ate first. Let's say he ate the t'nai, and he ate the t'nai with a full awareness, in which case, that would mean that he knew that the Shvuah went into effect and he was an Adam B'Shvuah. Then he goes ahead and he eats the second one. When he goes ahead and he eats the second one. So if he eats the other one, he would be chayev. If he eats first the Isser and then he goes and he eats the condition, that would mean that there would be no way for us to be mechayev of him, because here he's doing it b'mezit, right? But there's no way to be mechayev of him unless you hold asra safek shmei hasra'ah. So if he first ate the one that would have been asr, had he eaten the tonight, can I say to him, don't eat that because it's asr? The guy will say, no, it's not asr. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you might eat the tonight. Yes, I might, but I might not. Now, you can't give him a malchus for eating the t'nai. And the guy says, hey, don't eat that t'nai, because if you eat that t'nai, then what you ate before was usher. Well, I already ate it, buddy. Nothing to do about it now. So you're never going to be chayav malchus for eating the t'nai, which is the reason that your original kakila was usher, obviously, because you never could have give him a hasra for the one that was usher. You can't be Mechayev and Malkus on the Achila of the Tanai unless it now made the other one the Achila of Isra with Asra. But Asra can't be on the Tanai. It has to be on the Isra Achila, correct? Therefore, if he eats it, Bemezid, first he eats the Tanai and then he eats the Isra. Yes, okay. So then he was over Beferish on knowing what he did, with the Shvua fully there, he gets a normal Hasra, and he gets a normal Malkus. But what if he ate it the other way around? what if he first ate the Isser, and we tried to give him a Hasra? But he says, well, I don't know that I'm going to eat the other one. Then he eats the Tanai. So now retroactively, the Achila of the Isser was Usser. That is dependent in the Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about whether Hatra'at Safek Shmei Hatra'ah or not. And that is what we had before. L'man diyama Hatra'at Safek Shmei Hatra'ah. So if you hold that it is considered to be Hatra'ah, even though it was the Asra Safek. And remember, that was the Machlokas about how to understand the fact that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were moda that you're not going to be chayav. Was it because of Elav She'en Bo Ma'aser? Was it because Asra Safek? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we had before, we had this, started this all the way back in Makkos, that according to him, even though he's given Asra Safek, he would get Malkus. According to him, in this case, somebody gave him Hatra and said, don't eat that. And he says, why can't I eat it? I didn't make any shvua about this. Yes, but you might go and eat the Tanai. That's enough to be mechayev him when the person does eat the Tanai. L'man d'omer lav shma Hatra, but if you hold like Reish Lakish, then you're going to be potter, because there is no way to give this person a Hatra. And there's no way to be mechayev him on Malkus. Since he did it b'mezid, there's obviously no way to be mechayev him a korban. So either way, he's potter. So that is the first simple way of setting things up. So we now know all of the issues that are involved. Now, let's make it more complicated. Let's say you make both pitot dependent on the other. I won't eat the wheat pita if I eat the spelt pita, and I won't eat the spelt pita if I eat the wheat pita. So now you were tolan zubazu, and here is where all of the different pshatim are going to give us a different take on what is the first one, and so on. So if you made them dependent one on the other, you said, lo ochalzu im ochalzu, lo ochalzu im ochalzu. And now, you eat the first thing that you eat, whichever one you chose. Both of them are exactly the same. So you ate the first one, and he knew that it is Zedon Atzma, but Beshigigat Chavertas. You remembered while you were eating the first one, whichever one it was, you remember that you had made a Shvua if you eat something else to Aser it. But he forgot at the time that he ate this one, that by eating this one, he also had made a shvua that he's not going to eat the other one. So because of that, the one which was the Adam b'shvua, which is the first shvua that he made, which he remembers now, that he was not supposed to eat this one, if he eats the other one, that he remembered. And therefore, again, according to Rashi's approach, whatever the achila, first achila was the moment of the shvua going into effect. But the other one is not going to take effect because since by definition, whatever one you eat, you're going to be at the point of activating both of those shvuas. One of them you were not aware of at the time. That one is never going to be activated because there was no adam b'shvua. So that would mean that according to Rashi, that is going to be an onus and it's not going to be mechayev you. In which case, you would therefore, because it wasn't a real shvua, you would end up, even if you ate both of them, you would be putter. But you're not chayev on either of them. So in other words, even if you would think that, well, I mean, shouldn't I be chayev essentially on both of them? But Dafka went ahead and it was over on the other one. So why wouldn't he be chayev in on each one of them? If he ate each one of them, b'mezid. But it was forgetting the other one. What should be the din? Well, you would think, okay, he was over b'mezid, so over b'mezid, you're chayev. But he's not. Because one of them was not the Adam b'shua at all, right? He forgot at the time that he did his first achila, he simply forgot that there was a t'nai that would have been mechayev him. So you can't be chayev malchus where the shvua doesn't exist, but you can't bring a korban either for the shogeg of the first Shvuah because he did that b'mezit. You can't say he did that, the achila b'shogeg. And one of the tana'im is that he has to have done the achila b'shogeg, even where the Shvuah kicked in b'mezit. This was all the way Rashi understood it. So there's no way to be mechayev him anything. You can't be mechayev him on the mezid achila because there never was the kicking in of the shvuah of the second shvuah because he didn't remember that there was a tznai. You can't be mechayev him on the one that was chal because that one, when he ate it, essentially was not a shogeg. And at that point, you can't be mechayev of him because where's the shogeg? You have to have not remembered the shvuah. Not to mention the fact that what he did beheter because at the time that he did it, he hadn't eaten the other one. So what are you going to be mechayev of him on? So even though it's true that the catalyst of the shvuah, which was the other one, that was done b'shogeg after he eats the other one, but we can't be mechayev of him on the achila of that first piece, which was usher because of the later achila, which he was aware of, because at the time that he ate it, he actually ate and knew what he was doing. So therefore, either way, he would be potter. On the other hand, let's say, Zubishi got that smart. He eats the first one without realizing that it is usher. But he knows that if he eats this one, he won't be able to eat the other one. So what happens there? There he's got an achila, which is an achila shogeg, because he didn't remember that this one was usher, if he eats the other one. And it's a shvuah that is fully aware. Why? Because he's an Adam b'shvuah. He remembered that eating this piece is going to answer the other piece. So in that case, then he goes ahead and eats the second one, not realizing that it is usher, but knowing that when he eats this, the other one went into effect, then he would be chayev. This is a question of what he would be chayev on, depending on the approach. On one, or will he be chayev on both? That depends on whether you learn like Rashi or like the Rabbeinu Tam, or like the Tosfos adjustment of Rashi. If he ate both of them, b'shogeg, that would mean that there was no awareness at the time that the shvuah kicked in which case there is no adam b'shvuah, and therefore he didn't remember either of them. There's no shvuah here at all, and there's nothing to discuss. If a chiyuv, he would be potter. How about if he ate both of them, b'mezid, and he realized at each point exactly what would happen with the other one because of the eating of this one. So if he eats shtehem b'mezid, in that case he would be chayev for eating the second one, meaning the second shvuah. Why? Because when he ate, knowing that that would kick in a shvuah for the other one, that he knew about, and he remembered that at the time that he was eating it, which means that it was an Adam b'shvuah, and now retroactively, he had eaten the first piece, so we can actually, if you hold, you could tell him at that time that if you eat the second piece, you are going to be chayev at that point because you ate this piece, and if he does that, that's a regular hatra'ah, because he knows that he already ate the tanai, and you say that he was aware when he ate the tanai. So as far as the first piece that he ate, there it would be atra atzafek, because I can't tell him, definitely don't eat this first piece. I can't tell him that. So alibid Rabbi Yochanan, you would be chayiv even on the first piece, because it's atra atzafek ishma hatra, according to Reish Lakish, you would be potter. You'd only be chayiv on the second piece, because at the time that you ate the second piece, you'd already eaten the first piece, and that would mean that you were the Adam b'shvuah at the time that you ate it, and it was the tnai that kicked the shvuah into effect for the second piece, and when you're eating the second piece, it's a vadai hasra, not a suffolk hasra. But when you're eating the second piece, which is the tnai for the first piece, you are going to be making the shvuah, yes, but the question is, you ate it on purpose before, even though it wasn't usher at that time, but you ate it on purpose, and therefore, that's a question. Is eating on purpose chayiv malchus, even though at the time it wasn't usher? Because if the hasra suffolk, maybe you will eat the Tanai or not. And that was the Machlokas Amoraim with Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So basically, the ideas, I think, are clear. Putting them into effect according to the different shitas can get a little bit iffy if you try to work out the words, the first one and the second one, as having specific references. But I think the ideas are perfectly clear. If your first achila is the catalyst of the shvua, we come out with one approach. If it's only the achila of the Tanai, which, as Tosfos says, is the catalyst, we come out with a different approach. And obviously, we will adjust the words Rishon and Sheni accordingly so that it will all make perfectly good sense. But I hope that this is enough to keep the sugya clear in your head. If there's any questions, please ask them now so that we can continue. All right? Or forever hold your peace. It was Richie we were afraid of, and he's forever holding his peace. How do you like that? Says the Gemara, we seem to be able to actually learn this out of a Mishnah, which would make Rava 100% clear. Because, I mean, what Rava is saying over here is if you make a neder on a Tanai, and you ended up making the neder, putting the neder into effect, then you're chayev. But if you didn't remember it at the time that the neder goes into effect, you're not going to be chayev. What that means going into effect was about machlokas, whether it means only the Tanai or whatever the first achila was. So we can show you this, says Rav Mori, because if you remember the sugya that we had in Nedarim. Now, it's true the Gemara doesn't bring the whole thing over here, but it was put into the parentheses. That's just to remind you, it's not the exact part that we're bringing the Raya from, which is why it doesn't really belong. But let's just review it. Arba'a Nedarim Hitiru. The Chachamim said there's four types of Nedarim that aren't Chal. So Nidrei Zeruzim, where you're trying to get somebody to come and meet your price on something. Nidrei Havai, where you swear that you saw something that is obviously exaggerated. Nidrei Shigogos. Oh, Nidrei Shigogos. That's interesting. So Nidrei Shigogos, that's like what we're talking about. You didn't realize when the neder was going into effect. And then there was Nidrei Onasim, where somebody forces you to make a neder. That's not important for our discussion. But the next piece, which is a different Mishnah, which is why it doesn't go together with this parentheses. So later on, the Mishnah asks, Nidrei Shigogos Ketzad, in a different Mishnah. What do we mean by Nidrei Shigogos? So Konami Makati Ve'im Shatiti. So a guy says, I want this thing to be usher on me like Hegdesh, if I had a drink today, or if I had eaten today, and he simply thought that he had not had anything to drink that day or eat. Then he remembers that he had. Veniska sha'achal v'shata. That's called Nidrei Shigogos. He thought that there was no konin. Or, let's say he said, I will not eat. I will not drink. And if I drink or eat today, then I want this to be usher on me. I will not be allowed to use my TV today. Fine. So then what if he forgot the neder at the time that he eats and drinks? So he forgot that he made such a neder, and he goes ahead, and he eats and his drinks. The neder does not go into effect. Why? Because these are Nidrei Shigogos. He didn't realize at the time that he was ushering something. And because of that, it didn't become usher. Now, the Braita explained, and here's the part that is the Raya to Rava, the Braita explained that Kishem Shinidrei Shigagot Mutarot, Mutarim, Kach Shivuot Shigagot, are Mutarot. And what does that mean? That means what Rava was saying. That if there's a Tanai, what was the case over here? A Tanai. If I did X, then something should be usher, right? It's very similar to the case of Rava. So it's telling you that if you have a condition and you don't realize it at the time that that condition is filled, that it was filled, either you didn't know that it had happened, you forgot, or you didn't realize at the time that this is a condition that is going to create a shvua, then you don't have the Adam b'shvua. It's saying over here exactly what it was that Rava said, Legabe, the case of Shavuos. The second case over here, which says in the Mishnah, if I will eat and drink, then this will be usher. You didn't remember when you ate and drank. There is no neder. And it says over here, the same thing is true. There is no Shavuah. That's what Rava said. You need to have the Adam B'Shavuah at the point that it kicks in. This raya works out, of course, according to all of the Pirushim. Because over here, the first thing that you did in that Mishnah, that would be a juxtaposition to the case of a Shavuah, would be that you did the T'nai. And you don't remember when you did the T'nai that you had made it a T'nai. Ah, okay, that's what Rava said. There is no Adam B'Shavuah, and therefore there's no Shavuah here whatsoever. Now, what we've been talking about, this is it's a very sweet Gemara in which two brothers, I mean, if you got an older brother like this, man, oh man, he's going to push you ahead, but it ain't easy, let me tell you. So we've been talking about different cases of the interrelationship of a condition to the subsequent neder, and we've been talking about also what the din is when you make two nedarim one after the other, or two nezirises one after the other. And we had brought up the difference between a case where the first neder was broader than the second neder, and a different case where the second neder was broader than the first neder. So that was the case that we were medayik in the Mishnah, remember? If you said lo ochelena, Shvua shelo ochal kikar zo, and then you say shvua shelo ochelena, versus the case shvua shelo ochelena, and then you say shvua shelo ochal ze. So if the second shvua asered even a kezayit, then that would actually be a new shvua, would be b'chai of you. If you already had said something that was shvua shelo ochal, which you cannot get to the ochelena before you already ate the kezayit, and you were already over on that shvua, then that shvua is essentially being made as a shvua. On a shvua won't be chal. But because this is a complex thing to keep in mind, so the two children who apparently were definitely in competition over here, so remember Rechava, the famous Rechava Mipumbedisa, had two sons, Eifa and Avimi. And what happened was that Eifa, he had gone to join up the yeshiva of Rabba, and they were learning Shavuos, that's man, you know, and he comes home, and he meets up with his brother Avimi. So his brother Avimi wants to give him a bechina. How well do they learn Masechet Shavuos in Rabba's yeshiva? So Avimi says to him, okay, I got a question for you. If somebody says, I'm making a shvua that I did not eat, and then he repeats it again, I swear I didn't eat anything today. Same exact words. No, same exact words. What's the din? Ah, I know that one, says Eifa. You're only chayav once. If you say the exact same words, that's for sure going to be no shvuah chal on the other shvuah. You can't catch me on that one because that's the easiest one of all. Easy as pie. You said the same thing twice. There's only one shvuah. What do you say, big bro? I say, wrong. Ishta bishta. Totally messed up. Because this is a shvua l'sha'avar. I knew I could fool you. A shvua l'sha'avar, what's the difference how many times you lie? I swear I did not eat this. I swear I did not eat. Listen, every time you say, I swear I did not eat this, you're making a new lie, and you're making a new shvua on that lie, and you were over a shvua sheker, so why won't you be chayev every time? So you're totally wrong. Ishta bishta reyatza shvua l'sheker. Each time you made the shvua, it's over. You made one lie. Now you're making another lie. Why should one have anything to do about the other one? You made two shvuas. As many times as you make the shvua, you're going to be chayev. So forget about that. Okay. All right, fine. Now I got another question for you. Now that you understand how easy it was to mess you up, pay close attention now. Okay, little bro, next question. Shvua, shelo ochal teisha. And then you say, shvua shelo ochal eser. So now, what happens? You make a shvua, you're not going to eat 9 figs. And then you say, you're not going to eat 10 figs. Ah, now when you said 10 figs, you added another fig, right? So now, Think about that, bro. You got one shvuah that adds another fig. How many times are you chayev if you eat 10? I got it, says Eifa. You're chayev for each one of these separately. You blew it again. I'm like, sorry, ishta bishta, you got it wrong again. Because if you hadn't already eaten the 9, you can't eat the 10. In which case, you've already ossered the 10 by making the 9, and ain't shvuah chalal shvuah. Now, you think you finally got it right? Whew, yeah, okay. All right, little bro, here we go. Next question. Beep, 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 beep. Shvuah shalo ochal eser v'teisha. I'm making a shvuah I won't eat 10 figs. Now he takes another shvuah I won't eat 9 figs. Ah, so what's the din? I got it right this time. He's only chayev once this time, because you're including one in the other one. Or my life. Sorry. Ishta bishta. You blew it again. Because the first shvuah was only not to eat 10, but you could have eaten 9. And now when you made a shvuah not to eat 9, you got a new shvuah. So it doesn't help to say, but how could I get to the 10 if I didn't eat the 9? That's a different shvuah. Sorry. Okay. But says the Gemara, poor Eifa, there is a case, however, where Eifa actually would have been in the correct answer, where you would be chayev only for one shvuah if you first swore you're not going to eat 10, and then you swore not to eat 9, and then you ate 10. So in that sense, there is actually truth in what Eifa said. Because that would be like Rabba's case. Diyoma Rabba, Skidamar, Diyoma Rabba. In a case where somebody says, I won't eat Te'enim and Anavim. And then he makes another shvuah, and he says, I won't eat, both of these, of course, are for a particular time, but he says, for today. So in the first one, he said, I won't eat both Te'enim and Anavim. Very bad for me to eat Te'enim and Anavim. Always get a stomachache. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to eat Te'enim today. So he makes another shvuah, not even to eat plain Te'enim. Okay, so now this second shvuah is, of course, similar to the case that we had, where at this point he has a new shvuah, because the original shvuah was only going to asr him from eating a mixture of Te'enim and Anavim. Now he's going to be asr even on eating just plain Te'enim. So if he would eat both Te'enim and Anavim, so in that case he'd be chayev for both of the shvuahs. So if he eats Te'enim alone, he'd be over only on the second shvuah. Then, if he goes out and he eats Anavim, he would be over on the first shvuah. He goes ahead and he eats Te'enim, and he forgot that he had asked eating only Te'enim. So then that means he was over Bishogeg only on the second one. He didn't do anything about the first one. He now sets aside his carbon oil of the year, right? Because he realizes that he did something wrong and that he had already asked on himself to eat just Te'enim. He says, oh my gosh, so he brings the carbon oil of the year, right? And now he goes ahead and he eats Anavim, forgetting that he had a different shvuah, not to eat Te'enim and Anavim on the same day. So you would think, by the discussion that we just had of Eifa Vavime, that by eating the Anavim, now he was over on the first shvuah, because he ate both Te'enim and Anavim. And in this case, he would not be chayev. Why? For a different reason. It turns out that Eifa is right, because here, it's only a chatzi shiur. Since the shiur, once he already set aside the carbon oil of yared, so then you can't have now the achila that you had before being mitzarif with this achila, because essentially you've already made this a separate carbon, and that is now finished with that shiur. So if you only eat half of what it is that you said you're not going to eat, in this case you're eating only the anovim in that case, then that's the equivalent of eating a chatzi shir, because there were two pieces that you needed to eat, one a grape and one a fig. So, I mean, obviously, we don't really mean a chatzi shir literally, but it's similar to the idea of having a yediya in between, and therefore they would not be mitzarev. So, a chatzi shir, lo mechayev korban. So if you take Eifa, this was the case that Rabba said. If you take Eifa, we could also come out with a case like this, where you first made a shvua that you're not going to eat 10, and then you make a shvua not to eat 9, and then you ate 10, and Eifa had said you'd only be chayev 1. There is a halacha that, which has nothing to do with the logic of what Eifa said, but Eifa would be right. Because Eifa thought that the second one is Bechlal. It's not Chal. Because it's already included in the first one. That was a mistake. But Lamaisa, in this case, where you had set aside the carbon in between, so then even though you ate the 10 figs, you would only be Chayev for 1. For the same reason, because it would be a Chatzi Shir. So if you throw in that point into the scenario over here, of Eifa's scenario, we can give him a booby prize. So, kivan she'omar shvua shelo ochal eser. And then he said, shvua shelo ochal teisha. And he went ahead and he ate the teisha. And he was mafresh a carbon. And now he ate the eser. So now the 10th one becomes a chatzi shir. And on a chatzi shir, he wouldn't be chayev. So that at least is a partial booby prize for Eifa by injecting a whole new issue about chatzi shir. And Richie certainly feels very deeply for Eifa. Richie always searches for at least getting a booby prize, and he therefore ends up in the sugya much happier than he was before.